You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Great win by Denver last night. Altitude Radio Network, TNT, over Boston. You can tune into NBA action tomorrow night. Suns and the Celtics. Some back-to-back for Boston. Man, oh man. Denver and Phoenix. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I gave you a dollar right now to bet on ESPN Bet. You can only bet on Denver or Boston to win it all this year. Who you betting?
Oh, Denver. Denver. Now, here's the thing. I think Boston's path to getting to the NBA Finals is going to be a lot easier because it's them and then everybody else in the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, I'm not going to discount what we've seen from the Denver Nuggets and what we've seen from Nikola Jokic, who right now is the favorite to win MVP. It'll be his third in the trophy case. This guy is unbelievable. I mean, you're talking about another 30-point triple-double for him. Anytime he goes for a triple-double over the last couple of years, I think the record for the Denver Nuggets is 42-7.
Oof.
Like, this guy is an absolute monster, not just scoring the basketball, but how he facilitates. And having Aaron Gordon in that dunker spot, using Jokic off of the Murray pick and roll, and then throwing up the lobs to Aaron Gordon, I mean, it felt like that play was on a loop the entirety of the second half. So I just think Denver is a really, really dangerous team, especially if they can have home court advantage in a seven-game series. And so that's why if they were to get back – to the NBA Finals and win it, it would not surprise me. And so I think I would be more shocked today if Boston were to win a title than I would be if the Nuggets were to win a title.
Yeah, is the question getting to the finals or winning a title?
Winning.
I really want to pick Boston because even though they're coming off a loss last night, this season feels like their year in so many ways. It feels like they're firing on so many cylinders. And if it's not this year for them, I'm wondering when it might be or if they've missed their window. But I can't not pick Denver because I've seen them do it. I know that they can get through the gauntlet of the playoffs and execute and win a title.
So why not go the other way then? Not you, Smalls. I'm saying in general, if we go to the place of, well, I've seen Denver do it, so I assume they could do it again. I've seen Boston lose so many times when you thought they were going to win. Why would I not assume that would happen again? Right? I mean, we've seen them lose to Miami multiple times when you thought they wouldn't. You saw them lose to Golden State a couple years ago in the finals when a lot of people thought they wouldn't. I mean, are we at that place where Boston is that team that we would say, okay, they're going to be great in the regular season, great for a lot of the playoffs, but come fall short? Or do we think that all of a sudden this is different because Jrue Holiday is there, Derek White is better, and Kristaps Porzingis gives them something literally that is his nickname, the unicorn, that they did not have prior? Because I'm not sold that the end result with Boston is going to be different than the end result has been previously, which is, factually, one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league, a very competitive postseason team, but falling short. That's what I assume will happen with Boston this year.
Well, you assume that because you've seen their superstar come up small in the most inopportune times, right? Jason Tatum was 1 of 5 in clutch time last night, including missing that corner three with about 45 seconds to go that would have been a go-ahead points for the Boston Celtics in that moment. Like, Tatum has to be better in those spots. On the season, I think he's what? 31% from the field in clutch time?
31.9.
Exactly. So, I mean, that ranks 27th out of 28 players that are qualified, and you have to have a minimum of 45 shot attempts in that span. So, that's the part where I'm a little bit skeptical of the Boston Celtics. If your best player can't be at his best when it's required, then you're going to look funny in the light, kind of like those Usher bucks or that money that Floyd Mayweather used to throw in the club. Like, I don't trust it. Something about it's not quite right. That's what it feels like with the Boston Celtics. They got the flashy regular season record. I get it. Best record in the NBA. They've earned that. But once we get to the second season, once we get to the playoffs, do I think that Boston is going to continue to look as dominant as they've shown in the regular season? I don't.
So do we think that he's not capable of it because of the past? Or do you think that there's just other people that he's going to have to go up against who are better in those situations. Because I think there's a difference there. Like, I know he wasn't great in the clutch last night. He hasn't been so far this season. The past 3 years, that's
eroded. He hasn't been in his career.
Yeah.
In his career, he hasn't been great.
It's eroded, too, over the past three seasons, about 6%. So it's been in the decline in those situations. Yeah. But do we think he's not capable of that? Because I think he is. Despite all those numbers, I still think that he can step up and be the reason that the Boston Celtics win. He's that special of a player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not like he hasn't had success in the clutch in the postseason. We've seen it, right? Like last year in the semis against the Sixers, game six when they were down big, like he has that huge fourth quarter, he erupts, I think, 4 or 5 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've seen him have moments, but they're too far inconsistent in the playoffs. And conversely, when you look at the best teams in the West, when you look at the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, when you look at the L.A. Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, I mean, those guys have done it. They've won championships, and they've had clutch moments on the way to doing it. So I have more proof of concept and more faith that they're going to be able to do it again as opposed to believing in something that I have yet to see from Jason Tatum, I have yet to see from the Boston Celtics.
Well, I think that's the thing. So let's use two teams who could be upset teams of Boston if they were to get bounced before the finals, right? The obvious one is Milwaukee. But let's use the Knicks and the Heat at full strength because they're kind of similar, right? Hard-nosed, aggressive. Like, they're going to tire you out. You may beat them, but they are going to tire you out over 48 minutes. I can't imagine the Knicks and the Heat are fearful of Jason Tatum.
No.
I don't even think they're fearful of Giannis, as great as Giannis is. Now, Giannis can beat them. Conversely, I know for my team with Miami, Jokic would destroy them. And I'm fearful of Kawhi. I'm fearful of LeBron. Like, there's guys I'm fearful of. I would be fearful of Steph. They're not going to get there necessarily. But, like, I'm not fearful of anybody with Boston. I think I have a puncher's chance every single time I play against them, as great as they are. And I do wonder, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about Jason Tatum. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
No doubt.
His numbers are going to be insane by the time he's all done. He probably will win a championship at some point, and maybe it is this year. But does he need to pair himself, not leaving Boston, somebody coming to him, with somebody who's done it in those moments before that could show him the way? Right? Like, you think about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is phenomenal. Kevin Durant, first ballot Hall of Famer. If someone does not vote for Kevin Durant, they have never watched the Hall of Fame. They've never watched basketball. He was the best player on two finals teams that Steph Curry was on. But playing with Steph Curry and playing in that environment, I believe, got him better. And got him better in terms of understanding how to do it. Steph had done it before.
Yeah, similar to LeBron James going down to Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
going
to basketball school is what he called it. So,
And I just wonder, I'm not suggesting Jason Tatum should leave Boston. I do wonder at the end of the season.
I will tell you what, if the Boston Celtics don't win it this year, either Tatum or Brown, one of them is out of there.
So I would assume it's Brown.
With the commitment financially that they would have to make, you're talking about $700 million worth of contracts tied up in two players.
Right.
Once they extend Tatum.
It's a lot.
Like, if they don't get it done this year, there are going to be significant changes in Boston. They're firing the coach. Missoula's out of there.
For sure.
I thought they were firing him last year.
They almost did.
Yeah, like they're firing him this year. If they don't get it done this year, they're probably going to break up that tandem of Tatum and Brown because something has to change. And that's why I look at this as such an opportune time for Boston, right? You're catching all these aging stars, Steph Curry on the other side of it, LeBron on the other side of it. The Milwaukee Bucks are looking funny. They're firing their head coach in his first season midway through the year before the All-Star break. Like, it just, the Eastern Conference, the injuries with the Knicks, the Cleveland injuries with Donovan Mitchell. Like, there's so many teams that have so many question marks. You've got aging stars in the other conference. It feels like the time where Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics should assert themselves. This is the time that you got to win. Catch it before Luka Doncic really established himself, before Anthony Edwards does that, before SGA and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, it feels like this is the time.
Yep.
If you're going to do it, this is the window to do it in. And if you don't get it done, it ends up becoming an indictment on your career.
The more we talk about this, the more I think the Boston Celtics have more pressure on them to win a title than any other team in sports right now.
I don't even think that's hyperbole. I think that's just fact.
Because we brought up the Dodgers.
That's just fact.
We brought up the Dodgers.
More than the Cowboys?
Yeah, because I don't think the Cowboys are as close as the Celtics are. I think that if you look at the Boston Celtics, if you look at any sport, you take two best players and coach, right? How many changes will be made if that team does not win at all, right? I don't think Giannis, Dame, and Doc, they may be safe next year. Like,
probably,
maybe
yeah.
Dame will say, hey, it didn't work, whatever it may be. The Dodgers. Okay, Dave Roberts maybe would be on the hot seat, but Ohtani and Mookie Betts aren't going anywhere.
No.
Obviously, right? Any other, obviously Mahomes, they have money in the bank. Even now, what's happened in Buffalo, they've proven they're coming back, right? Like, then maybe not another time, but they're coming back here. Philadelphia may be okay, a little bit different, but I don't know how good Philly is.
What about Lamar and Baltimore? Kind of feels similar.
Two best players would be Lamar and who? Kyle Hamilton? Or who's the, I mean, I don't
Roquan
know.
Smith.
Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith. And John Harbaugh. They ain't going anywhere.
No.
Just take two. So, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla. Two of the three will be gone next year if they don't win it all. Or
yes.
get to the finals.
Yes. Yes.
Two
so,
of the three.
So, their yes. runway is shorter than any team.
Well, give me.
Or their window is shorter.
Right. So, if I'm going to use that as the compare and contrast, two best players and head coach or manager. Is there any other scenario where if that team that's good enough, you brought up Dallas.
I was going to say the quarterback and the head coach could be out in Dallas right. if they don't win.
Yeah, but Micah Parsons would be back, and those are your two best players. Dak and Parsons probably would be
back. Yeah, but I guess if Dak isn't back, it would be because Dak doesn't want to be back, not because the Cowboys don't want him back.
That's true.
Well, if they don't sign him and he it goes into this season where he has to bet on himself again.
And he goes into free agency, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys will offer him a contract. If he doesn't want to come back, that's on him.
Even the Lakers, who always have pressure because they're the Lakers, yeah. LeBron and AD are going to be back. Maybe Darvin Ham is in jeopardy, potentially, if they don't do well this season.
Yeah, I think you're making a great point. Best two players in the head coach, you're talking about two of those three being gone for Boston.
Yeah, give me another scenario. I don't think we have any. In any of sports.
Across sports, right. We don't have that.
You give me the look. You're thinking
no,
of someone.
No, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to go through the list of other teams, and I wonder if anyone is under more pressure than them. And really, it's not even pressure on the Boston Celtics so much as it is on Jason Tatum, because this will be a direct reflection of him if they have to get rid of one of their best players and their head coach because they fall short yet again.
The pressure becomes next year because, hey, Jason, you're the last man standing. You now have so-and-so as your co-star and so-and-so as your head coach. How do you feel about them in comparison to Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka? Like, you've had, and now Joe Mazzulla, you've had... So if Joe Mazzulla gets fired, this would be his fourth coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
He started with – he never played for – yeah, so Stevens.
Stevens, yeah.
Ime.
But that situation really had nothing to do with him, obviously. But
Ime, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's probably the best coach for him, clearly.
Yeah.
And they had to make the move for real life issues, not basketball issues. Right. So, he's talking about his fourth coach. I don't know that there's another team in sports that you could say has a legit shot of winning it all in the current season we're in or the next season where you would say – of the three most important people, let's just say, day-to-day, your coach and your two best players, where anyone would have two of the three out guaranteed if you don't achieve that greatness. Ooh. More than Boston.
The clock is ticking.
Yeah, it is.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
CeCe Smalls, before we get into the latest here around the NFL, a team that you think comes close, Celtics pressure-wise, Your baseball team, you want to throw in the mix, the Yankees?
No, somebody threw in the Yankees, but I mean, Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge ain't going nowhere. Those are the best two players.
Right, if we're doing it based on the luck.
Boone and Cashman might be going there. Like, if we want to talk about coach, general manager under the most pressure, it would be that tandem. But yeah, I mean, with the C's, again, Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, two of the three could be gone if they don't win a title. I mean, I think that's just where we're at right now. So, especially when you consider the cost of keeping Tatum and Brown together. Again, they just extended Jaylen Brown. What was that, a $330 million extension?
Biggest extension in history of the
Exactly.
sport.
And they're
Biggest
have
contract,
to,
excuse
And
me.
They're going to have to do that with Tatum this coming offseason. That's going to be even more money. So, again, between the two contracts, $700 million. If you're the owner of the Celtics, I'm paying $700 million to get to the finals and not win it? No.
Not great.
So, yeah, I think that they're under an immense amount of pressure. Now, the one that we did come up with in the break was the Dallas Mavericks, because two of the three could be gone. If it ends disastrously for Dallas, if they don't get out of the play-in, then I could see a scenario where Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving are gone this summer.
Yeah, and new governorship as well there in terms of that. But but the caveat is, I will ask the follow-up, do you think Dallas, if all things go perfectly for them, can win a title this year?
No chance in hell.
Okay, and do you think that if all things go perfectly for the Celtics, they can win a title this year?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the difference, right? Yeah, that's where, not that we're looking for outs on all of these, but it's just emphasizing the point that the Boston Celtics have more pressure on them to win a title in the season that we're in or the next season for that team in a respective sport than any other team in sports.
Yes.
And any other team in sports.
Yes.
And it's not that we would ever give the Kansas City Chiefs a free pass, because now they have the Super Bowl or bust every single year. But breaking news, the Chiefs will not get rid of Mahomes or Reed if they don't win the Super Bowl.
Also, once you've already broken through, I think the pressure is a little less. Like, Jason Tatum and the Celtics have been there. They've been on the precipice of this. So the pressure keeps mounting for them to finally break through.
And we're saying it's not the Buffalo Bills, right? The Buffalo Bills aren't in there.
Who's the second best player? If you're saying Josh Allen's the best player.
Is it Steph Diggs?
Yeah. No, I'm asking.
Yeah, it's Steph Diggs.
So then they are in there.
The Buffalo Bills have to be in there, right? Yeah. Sean McDermott and Steph Diggs could be gone.
I'm still not convinced Steph Diggs is definitely on the team this year.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Very
That's
good.
A great point.
I mean, I know it's
that's
not
great,
cap
that's
friendly,
a great point.
But like,
but it's not cap.
Something's weird.
Yeah, it could be gone.
Something's weird
based
there.
Based on the underlying tension, things we've heard, I could see that.
So then, who would elevate to the second best player then? Who's? I mean, I don't know the answer to that with the Bills. They got rid of half their team the other day.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, the Bills would be right there. I think the Bills.
I mean, Micah Hyde, Matt Milano. I mean, but Milano's coming off of an injury.
But they're very similar.
I don't know.
They're very similar. Yeah. Now the Celtics have gone around further, right? They at least went to the finals. The Bills obviously have not been to the Super Bowl, but they're very similar in like they're hovering.
But they've had Patrick Mahomes in their way,
right? And with love and admiration for my team in the Miami Heat that I love, I don't think that people would compare the Heat in basketball currently to the Chiefs in football. Meaning the Celtics' two losses recently were to Miami, and they're not a juggernaut. The Celtics are the juggernaut, right? The Bills losing to the Chiefs, they're the juggernaut in that scenario.
So you brought up something earlier really quickly I want to touch on, Evan, where you said you didn't know if Boston had that nastiness, that toughness needed to win a title, right? With all this pressure on them, they're going to need that more than ever if they know the window is closing and they have potentially this year and only this year to get it done. Don't you think they need that toughness? Isn't that a huge component of what's going to be needed in order to overcome all this pressure?
Yeah, it also feels like they need somebody who, like, I know Drew Holiday is this guy, but he's so quiet. They need somebody who's like been there and done that and kind of vocal. Like Marcus Smart was vocal but hadn't been there and done that. Al Horford's been there forever, but hasn't been there and done. There's some element to me that, like, one of their two best players may, or three best players may need to be a vocal champion. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking about Draymond, honestly. Like, I think, like, if you put Draymond on a team like that, I'd pick them to win the title right now.
Yeah, well, they had a version like that in Marcus Smart.
But he never did it.
That didn't work out.
Yeah. And I know that's wishful thinking, obviously, to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
All right. So there's an interesting new angle and layer to this Justin Fields conversation. So Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive, has a podcast, The GM Shuffle, and he brought up a new interesting destination for the current Bears quarterback.
There seems to be not a lot of momentum. I mean, we saw that video that moved the market, Femi, of him jumping up and down. Everybody said, well, that must be Atlanta's involved. But I talked to a lot of people that were at the combine, and I can't find a team. If I were Philly, I would trade for him. Because I think if you put him behind Hurts and run the six-back offense with him, he might go in there and play good.
So Philly is a really interesting one because nobody has brought up any kind of quarterback competition in Philly, and nor are we going to if Justin Fields is there. But this is a whole different layer. Let's call this, in essence, a gap year, where is there a possibility that Justin Fields should go to a team or could go to a team that has an established starting quarterback and learn from that guy?
I love the concept of it. I do. I think there are so many things that Justin Fields has to unlearn from his time in Chicago. He wasn't supported properly from a personnel standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. There was a lot of dysfunction within that franchise. So having an opportunity to sit back and to watch a professional quarterback go about his business, I think there's a lot of learning that Justin Fields can do that can help him grow his game and evolve as a player. So, yeah, I like the idea of doing that. It's just a matter of whether or not Justin Fields is going to take that approach versus having an opportunity to start as a quarterback when week one kicks off in 2024. And I think he'll be presented with that opportunity by somebody around the National Football League.
I like that idea, but I'm still in the camp of I have seen such electrifying moments from him, and it's not been consistently, obviously, that I would love for him to go somewhere where I would consider it to be almost a safe haven, where he knows that he's the guy and he can develop there. That's why I thought that, you know, going somewhere, even though he would have to compete for the job like Pittsburgh, that feels like a safe haven for him, like a steady place where he's going to know, okay, I'm going to be here for a minute and I'm going to be able to figure stuff out. Again, he would not be the automatic day one starter, but I just want him to go somewhere where there's going to be stability. And if that means taking a gap year, so be it. But I do, maybe I'm one of those suckers that I've seen glimpses of it, and I just really still think that there's a lot there with Justin Fields. And wherever he goes, I hope that he finally one day does get the opportunity to be a starter somewhere else.
Do you think he would be in Pittsburgh for a minute, though? Like, maybe more literally a minute than figuratively, because he's at $6 million this year. They'd have to then theoretically pick up his fifth-year option, which I don't know, at 25.6, which I don't know why they would do. I think you have to play it out, and then if he's good, maybe you franchise him, extend him, whatever it may be, because you don't even know if he's going to be the starter. Because I think that
Well, hold on, though. If you're going to trade... Say you're trading a second round pick for Justin Fields, you're gonna exercise a fifth year.
But I'm now starting to think it's a third.
Yeah, if it becomes a third round pick, then it's dicey.
You don't have to then.
It's dicey.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, maybe you go the route of trying to negotiate a 2-year deal similar to what the Green Bay Packers did with Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I would go that route, see if you can get it a little bit cheaper. So if it ends up being a 2-year $31 million proposition with the fifth-year option. Maybe you try to get that down to a 2-year $24, $25 million proposition. I think that's the value in it if you're talking about a third-round pick. But, yeah, I think Justin Fields will have suitors. Right now, we're just in that negotiating window where the Chicago Bears are adamant they want a first-round pick for him because Justin Fields has the potential to be a starter in week one, and he's relatively young, mm-hmm. versus the rest of the league saying, we know you have to trade Justin Fields. When we know you got to do something, we're not going to give you top compensation in the way of draft capital. It's just not going to happen. So the Chicago Bears and the rest of the league are doing this dance where it's who's going to blink first. And we know the answer to the question. It's the Chicago Bears because the draft is right around the corner. They're going to have to trade them. The two guys can't be on the same team. So with the rest of the league knowing that, they're just waiting for the Chicago Bears to come down on the overall asking price for Fields.
You brought up a really interesting point, the Jordan Love contract. So basically what CC is saying, what that means is fascinating, because we talk about this fifth-year option. Basically, it's declining the fifth-year option, saying, hey, listen, you're scheduled to make 2 years 31 if we pick it up. If we don't pick it up, you're going to make 1 year at six, and we don't know what's going to happen after that. Or you could make 2 years and 25, and we're going to then redo the contract, and we're going to have you for an extra year at a cost that even if he doesn't work out, it's still manageable.
Exactly.
Which is why Green Bay got an unbelievable deal with Jordan Love, right? We sat here, we thought like, oh my God, they're hedging their bets a little bit. They don't really believe in him that much. Well, it was brilliant because even for 2 years, you get him on a lower number and now they're in, I don't want to say they can win a Super Bowl.
They're going to do that deal again, though. I'd be surprised if that deal ain't done before the start of the season.
The long term.
Yeah, the long term.
But
deal.
That would be the next year. They still got the 1 year this year.
Yeah, they still got the 1 year on the cheap, yeah.
It's why we think about teams like Green Bay and Houston specifically. They're the two sexy, like, could they maybe possibly make a run? It's very interesting to think about.
Definitely.
All right, we're going to continue the quarterback conversation coming up because there may be an argument now that the market for Russell Wilson, as small as people think it is, may actually be greater than that of Justin Fields. We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Interesting news about Russell Wilson. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has reported that it seems like a meeting is set up between Russ and the Steelers as soon as free agency starts in just a couple of days. But I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
Does average everyday person know what their boss's boss looks like?
Probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
You should probably know what your boss's boss looks like.
I would think so.
And your boss's boss's boss. Like, well, you should know the highest ranking people at a company and what they look like, correct?
Yeah, I'm assuming most people would because they're working in confined quarters with one another. So you would see those people
but
on
you
a
may
daily
never,
basis.
But you know, if they're like you're in an office in Nebraska and the main person's in Iowa, like you may not see that person, but you probably have a feel for like.
I'm sure you've had a Zoom though.
Yeah.
Like or if you're working on the teams and stuff like that, you have Zoom, y'all have meetings.
Or like, hey, there's a CEO of a company. Let me Google search what that CEO looks like, their background, et cetera, right? Because there's a lot of people on our staff that don't know a lot about what the highest ranking people in different departments around ESPN actually look like. They're like, oh, I don't know this person.
Right.
And we're like, really? Like, you don't know what they look like? I just feel like it's commonplace to start Googling people today's day and age, no?
Well, me and Javonte had a good run, guys. Thanks for getting us fired. Appreciate that.
I didn't say it was you guys.
You said people on the show. Who else would you be talking about?
I didn't say it was you. You just did.
Who else would you? Well, it's clearly not you guys.
No,
it's me, Nuno, Javonte, and I guess Rob are the only other options.
No, there are definitely people that, like, Justin, our boss, has mentioned, like, hey, so-and-so said some nice things about you guys. And that's great. And I'm like, I need to look up who that is. Mm-hmm. But my initial reaction is to always look up who that is.
Okay.
It's not, like, Pat and Javonte, now that Pat's saying that, literally never do that. I find that fascinating. I feel like most people at work know what their employers look like. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about this, so many places have gone remote, so you might not see people on the regular like you used to. And maybe some people just don't care. They're like, this person doesn't impact my day-to-day, so why do I need to be worried about them or concerned with them?
Yeah, if I'm a delivery driver, I don't know if I know what the CEO of the company looks like.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You don't think people at Amazon know what Jeff Bezos looks like?
Everybody, well, he's famous.
Everybody
though.
Knows who Jeff Bezos is. If you're a delivery driver for UPS, do you know who the CEO is?
But here's the thing, though. No. Here, hold on for a second. You know, like, it's not that, people know the name Jeff Bezos, but do people know, would the delivery driver be able to pick him out of a lineup? Do they know what
that's
he looks like? I don't think so. I do not think that's the case.
Really?
I don't think most people. I don't know what Jeff Bezos looks like.
Really?
No.
I feel like you always see photos.
Looks like
I know his name.
Very, like SVP.
Very awkward. Very
strange.
You think Jeff Bezos looks like SVP? Why? Because he's bald?
Yeah, he does not look like SVP.
He doesn't look like SVP at all.
Nah, dog.
What? In what world?
If anything, he looks more like Adam Silver.
Who?
Jeff Bezos.
No.
I think that's...
I don't think that one either.
More than SVP.
He kind of looks like Patrick
Stewart.
I feel
like that's shade toward Adam Silver by saying that.
No,
that one
no.
is right. What Pat just said is right. He looks more like Patrick Stewart. That's the actor. That's absolutely... Who I believe was 71 years old when he tried pizza for the first time. Should be arrested if that story is true.
Why do you know that?
Because I just remember how ridiculous that story was. Drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's sad.
Jeff Bezos looks like Patrick Stewart. That's a good... Like,
disrespectful to Patrick Stewart.
But the idea that Jeff Bezos and SVP look alike,
no,
Scott Van Pelt looks
look
nothing
it's not
Jeff
close.
Bezos.
No, not
and,
at all.
And neither does Adam Silver.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
No way.
But that is interesting. Does the UPS driver know who the CEO is of UPS and what that person looks
does
like?
Does anyone know who the CEO of UPS even is?
No, but
I have
we
no
don't
idea,
work
but
there.
I don't work for the company.
I feel like you would know.
I don't know.
No, I'm saying if you worked there.
Yeah.
No,
it's Carol Bitome, obviously.
Who?
Carol B. Tomei?
Well, I don't know what Carol
obviously.
I don't know what Carol looks like at all. But that's that's a whole interesting another interesting one. If you actually know the name of the CEO of the company, you probably. But I don't know because that's such a big company. I guarantee you when Russell Wilson shows up to Pittsburgh, how about this for a transition? He will know everything about the Rooneys. He's going to study up on the Rooneys.
He will. He'll try to work that room.
So how do we feel about this whole thing that the only free agent visit that we know of currently, not for a guy that's already been signed, Jonnu Smith, tight end signed by the Dolphins, that's happened already, 2-year, $10 million deal reportedly, that the only one we know about is Russell Wilson and Pittsburgh. How do we feel about this partnership?
I'm not super surprised because we know that Pittsburgh was potentially in the market to add a quarterback to that room. And we know Russell Wilson is a serviceable option at a very, very low price point. So it seems like that was a natural fit. That's one of the landing spots we had circled for Russ. And once he got the green light to begin his journey in free agency, I'm not surprised that there was mutual interest on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, you want competent quarterback play, and you believe that Russell Wilson's capable of doing that. He was top 10 in passer rating last year, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. So he can provide an upgrade base versus what you had last year between Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky. I think the Steelers had the fewest touchdown passes of anybody in the NFL, which is, pretty bad when you think about it. When your total touchdown passes is in the teens, it's not good. And that was the state of the Steelers' offense, so much so that it led to Matt Canada being fired in the middle of the season, something that the Pittsburgh Steelers never do. So I think Russell Wilson gives them a slight upgrade, and the value proposition with him being on a $1 million contract is what probably made this come together so quickly. Because if it wasn't at a discounted rate, I don't know how quickly this would have materialized.
Fair. There is a level of validation, I feel, as a Russell Wilson supporter if Mike Tomlin blesses him, right? Like, okay, like Mike Tomlin's on your resume now. Like, you've played for Mike Tomlin. You were available for any of the 32 teams, obviously maybe not Denver and Seattle, so 30 teams, let's say, that could sign you or attempt to sign you, and Mike Tomlin's the one who signs you. If that happens, if Russ, I feel validated in that, like, there's still something left in there.
But conversely, if he goes to a quarterback needy team in the Pittsburgh Steelers on that price point, they have the meeting and they decline to bring Russell Wilson in. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel as good, but at the same time, I don't think he's going to be left out without a chair in the musical chairs game. Like right now, if I said to you, someone is going to be left out of a starting gig this year that we think could be a starter, is it more likely it's Russ or Justin Fields? Because I personally would go Justin Fields being left out based on all the reporting that we've heard here.
Because of the price point of Russell Wilson?
Well, because with Russell Wilson costs you nothing by way of draft compensation. He costs you $1.2 million vet minimum. You don't have, and Justin Fields, you're on the hook for $6 million this year, and you have to pay some sort of draft compensation. That if the game of musical chairs is happening, in my mind, it is more likely Justin Fields doesn't have a starting job than it is Russell Wilson doesn't have a starting job.
If the money wasn't an option, though, and teams had the option, bring in a young, potentially malleable player and Justin Fields that you could maybe extract the best from and he could grow in your organization, or a guy in Russell Wilson who, while not having the same career as he once did, has been there, done that. Which route do you think most teams would take if the financials were the same?
If they wanted to win this year, I think it would have to be Russell Wilson.
But I don't think they look at Russell Wilson as somebody that's going to be there for the long haul. I think Russell Wilson is more of a Band-Aid on a bad situation. Pittsburgh is still going to be searching for a long-term option at the quarterback position. And Justin Fields represents the potential to be able to solve that problem long-term. I don't think Russ does that for them. So in the short term, while Russ might be the more sure thing for this upcoming season, I think you're still going to be in quarterback purgatory. And the Pittsburgh Steelers don't strike me as an organization that goes for quick fixes. So that's why I think that the Justin Fields thing is intriguing. And who's to say that Justin Fields can't be a part of that quarterback room even if they do add Russ, knowing that it's only for $1 million? Like, there's also that potential. So, I mean,
that's interesting.
That would be interesting. You won't necessarily think of it that way, but the Pittsburgh Steelers could theoretically add both of them, especially if the price going back to Chicago is only a third-round pick. So, I look at Pittsburgh – and I ask myself, what are they this year with Russ? Is it materially better than what they were this past year? A playoff team with an early exit. I think that's probably the same.
I agree.
I think that's probably the same. So, like, that's the interesting part about them having a meeting this quickly is that the other quarterbacks that are supposed to be on the move this offseason haven't necessarily declared where they're going to go, and yet the Pittsburgh Steelers are choosing to bring Russell Wilson in now.
For a visit, right? We don't know if they're definitely going to sign him, but that for a visit. So last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers, just as a point of comparison, their quarterbacks had 13 touchdowns. Wow. 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah, just for correction, they had the second fewest passing touchdowns. Only the Jets had fewer.
Oh,
so
the Jets had fewer. So just wanted to clarify that. I said the fewest, second fewest.
Second fewest. Thank Russell, you for that.
If Russell Wilson 13. Comes to Pittsburgh and has the exact same season he had last year, he would double the amount of passing touchdowns and have one less interception. So that's significantly better if he does the exact same thing that he did a year ago.
But they ain't going to be throwing the ball nearly as much, though, as they were throwing it in Denver. Because Pittsburgh is not going to be playing from behind nearly as much as Russ was playing from behind in Denver. So, again, when we have those stats out there, we got to make sure we put them in its proper context. Mm-hmm. The reason why Russell Wilson had those amount of touchdown passes, because they were playing them behind from a lot of those games. So,
all right, coming up, we got a round of can he or can't he, but first, CC has this from Vivid Seats.
Oh, yes. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every dunk, every slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Kenny?
Kenny?
Oh, can't he? This is not hard-hitting analysis. It's not that.
Can he or can't he?
That is the question.
All right, can he or can't he questions. Can he or can't he brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right products for you. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by today. Can Jaden Daniels be the number one pick in the NFL draft?
No shot, according to our very own Dan Graziano. He said that's not what he's hearing. That wasn't the word on the street at the combine. It feels like that's something that we've manufactured in the media, and I'm not saying we did it on this show, but that's been a talking point, people picking Jaden Daniels or preferring Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. I'm not sure if Jaden Daniels is just a shiny new toy and it's Caleb Williams fatigue, because we've been talking about Caleb Williams being the number one pick for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. When he comes out. So Caleb Williams is going to be the guy. The Chicago Bears are going to draft him. It just feels like it's obvious at this point. You can put that one in pen.
Can he or can't he? Can the Chicago Bears win the NFC North in 2024?
Ooh, I'm going to say they can. I mean, listen, based on the odds, the NFC North is the most closely contested division. I know everybody loves the Detroit Lions, as do I. My former teammate Dan Campbell is their head coach. Who doesn't love the fighting kneecap biters? I love them. I absolutely love them. I love the way the Green Bay Packers are trending. But if the Bears do this right, they should be in the mix. They absolutely should be. There's a reason why this is the most closely contested division according to the odds. If they get the right quarterback, consider what their defense was able to do in the second half of last year when they had the best scoring defense in all of football beyond week 10. Yeah, there's no reason to think that the Chicago Bears can't compete for the NFC North title. And at what, plus 440? Might not be bad value. Might not be bad value.
Can he or can't he? Can the Warriors make the playoffs?
Okay, so it's minus 150, yes, and it's plus 120, no. I am going to say that the Warriors get into the postseason. There's something about it. Klay Thompson has really embraced the role coming off of the bench. He led Golden State in scoring last night. You saw a triple-double from Draymond Green for the first time in, what, 3 years? I just think that Steph Curry, I know there's been some up and down in his game over the past week, but you're Steph Curry. When it matters the most, we know that he's going to be at his best. I think the Golden State Warriors muster some magic. They get into the postseason. And so that's why they're favored, even so, ever so slightly, to actually make it to a real playoff series as opposed to the play-in game.
Okay, well, that was my follow-up. So you think top six, playoffs or play-in?
No, playoffs, meaning
so
even
once
if they
win
even
the
if
play-in.
They got to go into the play-in, they still get into the playoffs, yeah.
Which, by the way, as of now, means you just picked against the Lakers.
No.
Well, that's
that would be
one.
The 9-10, right, is what we're kind of heading towards.
Yeah.
Well, just saying.
That's the next question. How about the Lakers? Can he or can't he? Can the Lakers make the playoffs?
No. No. I told you. God, their perimeter defense is trash. Like they're 28th in three-point makes allowed. They're bad. They're not a great shooting team. They're better than they have in the past, but they're not great. But the problem is they don't defend. In this time last year, they were able to catch fire. They had the best record post-All-Star break because they were good defensively. This is not a good defensive team. And then you're asking me to trust the others outside of LeBron and AD. That means D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. And I don't. I don't trust the others. I just don't. This is not the same thing. They're not going to be able to flip some magical switch. As great as LeBron James is, I'm sad to say, I think they could find themselves on the outside looking in. And in a one-game winner-take-all scenario, which is what the play-in tournament would be if they're in the 9 or 10 seed, I could see the Los Angeles Lakers losing that game. So, yeah, I think the Lakers will be out. Now, it's plus 105 that they make the playoffs. It's minus 135 that they don't. So, the odds are they won't make the playoffs. That's what Vegas is telling us.
Can he or can't he, brought to you by Grainger, can Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually win the MVP?
Yeah, why not? Why can't SGA win MVP? Right now, he's got the second shortest odds to Nikola Jokic, but guess what? His team is right there in the win column with the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're one game back in the win column from Minnesota? Yeah, I mean, if he ends up being the best player on the team with the second best record in the league, best record in the conference, and the West is by far the tougher of the two conferences, why can't SGA be the guy? I absolutely think he can win MVP. I mean, this guy is a monster. He's averaging 31.1 points per game. Like, it's been a lot of momentum toward him moving this way. And I just can't help but think, this is the guy that Kawhi Leonard got up out of there for Paul George. And I'm just thinking, SGA is in the MVP conversation. Now, you can make the argument he wouldn't have developed into the player he is now without going to Oklahoma City. But I'm just thinking about the idea of SGA and where he was with the LA Clippers and now where he is with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I absolutely think that SGA can win MVP.
If Denver finishes with the best record in the West, I think Jokic is going to do it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, right now...
They're a game back.
They're a game back, but Oklahoma City has the opportunity to,
yeah, if they
to
finish
have
with
the best
one.
Record in the Western Conference. If they finish with the one and he's averaging over 31 points a game, he is going to win MVP.
Especially with Karl-Anthony Towns' injury right now, that if Minnesota slides, which last night, ridiculous, they won the game, they beat Indiana... And Anthony Edwards had the most ridiculous block of all time. He hit his head on the rim. I said that correctly.
Crazy. Yeah.
He hit his head on the rim during a block shot last night.
It was outrageous. That was
crazy.
So the presumption, which may not be fair nor true, is that Minnesota without Karl-Anthony Towns, as Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting, for the next month, and then he's going to be reevaluated, and that hopefully he'll be back before the playoffs. But if you assume that they slide and Oklahoma City starts winning some games or continues to win games, and they're the one seed, Shai very well could win the MVP.
I mean, Shai is second in points per game behind Luka Doncic, and he's tied with Nikola Jokic in win share. I think it comes down to the team's overall success. Mm-hmm. If they finish with the best record in the West, he's going to win MVP. And I know people don't it sounds crazy to think SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to win MVP, especially with how he got there. But, yeah, this guy is going to win MVP if they finish with a better record than the Denver Nuggets. He is. It's going to happen. Plus 220 odds right now. Jokic is minus 140. So Jokic's still the slight favorite. But, I mean, he's right there. He's literally right there.
There are so many comparisons to the Warriors, not the style of play, but the way in which that they're built through the draft, the way in which they're supplementing their team with veterans like Gordon Hayward and others. Like, they just feel like, they being Oklahoma City, excuse me, they feel like this year is not going to be a title team, right? I don't think. But next year, year after that, like, if you told me they won multiple championships, it's believable. And what the league should be actually afraid
of. So this is like the 2014 season for the Golden State Warriors?
It's they're not going to fire Mark Jackson for Steve Kerr. I think they have their coach.
Yes.
What the league would then have to be afraid of, and I know this is going to sound weird, but how did they get here? They got here by losing and stockpiling picks. That this is
trusting
not,
the process?
Sam Presti's so good at identifying talent, though.
But it's job security. It's Oklahoma City, to their credit, said the guy running this, you're going to have the job forever. Like, we're going to have this with you. Because most times, Smalls can speak to this better than anybody. Like in baseball, where the tank is always the – like, tank works better in baseball than any other sport. We've seen it. But the person that gets you to the bottom is not always the person that is allowed to take you to the top.
No.
Right?
That's true.
Whoever was running the Astros before Lunau – was not Lunau, right? I don't, if I'm not mistaken. So I think most, like, but Sam Hinkie in Philly was not allowed to bring them back up.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. The tank didn't take that long. You're talking about two down years. That's
for
it.
For Oklahoma City?
For Oklahoma City. It's two down years. They had 2 years when their wins were in the 20s. Other than that, it's been in the 40s or more.
But the way in which they did it was brilliant because Sam Presti was allowed to, he was allowed to take on bad contracts. Basically getting paid off to take, like, he would take on, next year, he'll take on Ben Simmons for and take a, two picks, that kind of thing,
take
right?
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, there's 2 years outside of the playoffs. They were in playing games last year, and then they're going to be a top two seed, top three seed in the West.
And we're going to see more.
The tank didn't take that long.
Yeah, like, we're going to see more teams do it.
Is that can we qualify that as tanking?
Yes.
I don't know that we can.
Yes.
No, I don't know that we can.
You don't think Oklahoma City tanked?
I don't think we can call it tanking. I don't think, it's only been 2 years, two down years, that's tanking.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.